Cape Talk, Pippa's Planet.
We've spoken regularly on this show about the need for sustainable use of our seafood resources. We've encouraged listeners to make use of the Sassy Fisher-Mess service or to download their app and make sure that if you are ordering fish in a restaurant or buying it to cook at home, you are doing so responsibly and sticking to the green list of fish whose numbers are still okay. But the issue of sustainability in the fishing industry isn't limited to the issue of what kind of fish are being caught in what numbers. It also touches on the issue of who is doing the fishing. There have been years and years of disputes over fishing quotas and who gets them and who doesn't. And there have been terrible stories of small-scale fishermen being shouldered out of the industry, people whose families have fished for generations. And today I'm delighted to introduce you to a non-profit organization which is trying to balance both of those concerns, the desire for ecological responsibility and the desire for social fairness. And I want to tell you about an initiative called Abalobi, which connects traditional fishers with the end user at the restaurant end, effectively cutting out the middleman and ensuring that the fish goes, and I can borrow their catchphrase, from hook to cook in the shortest time possible. With us in studio is Dr. Serge Raymakers, who's the co-founder and project director of Abalobi. Great to have you with us, Serge.
Good afternoon.
How did this idea come about?
The idea of the hook to cook movement came about a year and a half ago, where we'd been working with small scale fishers along the South African coast, from west coast to south coast, around using or leveraging the power of mobile technology to collect data, to collect better data, to collect data together. And so while we'd been working on fisheries management, on ideas on how we could collaboratively manage fisheries, we also realized that fishers are marginalized in the value chain. They get a bad price for their catch. They don't often have visibility in the market, in the consumer market, in the restaurant sector. And we thought, hang on here, this data that fishers are collecting on a daily basis as part of their logbooks, as part of their catch data, why can't we channel some of this through the value chain? Through the value chain to connect these same fishers directly with chefs that are interested in obviously the provenance of their seafood, that want to know for sure that if they order a particular species, it's that, where, and want to know where and how and what it is, and then of course that can use the same platform to relay the message to their patrons, to the consumers in the restaurant.
You're talking here about being able to tell the story of the individual fish on the plate, that when the customer orders fish in the restaurant, they don't just know that if they asked for hake, what they're getting is genuinely hake. They also can even know where that piece of hake came from, where it was caught and when and by whom.
That's exactly it. So through front of house or through the QR code that is put on the table or printed in the menu, the consumer is able to scan that either with their iPhone or with an Android phone and access for that particular batch that was delivered in that particular restaurant, access indeed what it is, of course, and what about that species, where it was caught, how it was caught, and then of course most importantly for us right now, who caught it. Who are these small-scale fishers in South Africa that are fighting for their rights, that are trying to be recognized by the fisheries authority and that have been fishing for generations?
So who are they, Serge? Because you're working with a number of them through this project. I know not only here on the West Coast, but on the Southern Coast as well. Tell us who these fishers are.
Well, who are they? There are thousands of fishers living along our coastline who've been practicing a particular way of fishing for generations, who are trying to make ends meet, who sustain, who derive their livelihood from the sea, and who most importantly, in my mind, in my experience, have very deep local knowledge of the marine resources. I regard them as the ultimate observers, and I see Abalobi as a platform that offers them an opportunity to share some of that knowledge and to put that knowledge on the decision-making table.
Let's talk about the kind of methods they're using for fishing, because this is one of the key factors. We're not talking about boats going out with long nets that stuff gets tangled up in as bycatch and huge numbers are harvested. How do these particular fishermen fish?
Exactly. We're talking about artisanal fishers, small-scale fishers who use low-impact methods. So they go out with relatively small boats, they go on day trips with 4 to 8 crew members, and they use mainly handline. They catch line fish with handline, one by one, basically, or they use small hoop nets, for example, for their lobster. Some fishers harvest marine resources in the intertidal zone, and other fishers may even dive for particular resources. So basically, they use relatively low impact methods, very intensive methods, of course, labor intensive methods.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the app itself. You've said for the end user in the restaurant, you pick up your phone and you scan a QR code, but it's obviously much more complicated than that at the beginning of the journey.
Exactly. So there are actually six apps.
Okay.
They're different apps for different users, but the most important ones are, of course, the apps that the fishers use, whether you're a crew member, whether you're a boat owner, the app that allows you to record your catch, your expense, your income, and manage your balance sheet. Get a much better idea of your fishing operation. Not only just the impact you may have on particular resources in your area, but of course how you can optimize the use of particular resources, how you can valorize certain resources that may not hold much value. Then there's the Marketplace app. The Marketplace app is the interesting one because that's the one that allows, for now, chefs to connect with these fishers and to see what's available on a particular day, what has the sea got to offer us on that particular day. They can place an order for what they need, and that's it. It's delivered. They pay on the app. As they pay on the app with EFT or credit card, they get the QR codes. The QR codes that are linked to their restaurant, to the batch that they've just ordered, that allows, as we said earlier on, the consumer to scan and access the story behind that particular batch.
Well, at this point, I think I'd like to share with you the story of one of the chefs, because we chatted a little bit earlier to one of the restaurants which is partnered with Abalorbe. You said you've got 20 of them now.
That's correct, yeah.
Which is fabulous news. A Bistro 1682 on the Sternberg Estate was one of the founding partners or collaborators on this project. And a little while ago, I sat down with their chef, Kerry Kilpin, to talk about her perspective on how this program is working for them in the restaurant and how it's changed the way she manages seafood in her kitchen. Let's take a listen to that conversation. As a chef, you must have been aware always of the issues of sustainability around your seafood on the menu. Before the partnership with Abalorbe, how did you reflect that in your menu planning?
We've always tried to stick with green-listed fish as much as possible and only use green-listed items on the menu. But it's always had its challenges because, you know, you end up using the same type species of fish time and time again. So you've got your angelfish and your hake and... since Abalorbe's come along, we've now got so many more new fish that we're getting introduced to.
That's fantastic. Previously, were you mindful of who had caught the fish that you were using, or was it a case of simply getting the best quality and price that you could?
We were completely clueless as to who was catching the fish, and sometimes to a degree as where the fish was even coming from. It was more about, this is what's available on the day, and... the quality.
Okay, now talk to us about how this partnership works in practice in your restaurant.
Basically, it's very simple. When the guys go out fishing, I'm notified that via the app that they are going out fishing. But generally, like today they'll say they're going out for bream and the sea is looking good and off they go. Once they come back to shore, I get a WhatsApp or message to say that they've caught X amount of fish and would I like some? And it's basically as simple as that. So once I've decided how much I want, it's loaded into a vehicle and brought through to the restaurant. And it's all done through their app.
So it's brought straight from the boats to your restaurant with no in between?
Yeah, that's basically the way it is. And if they come late at night, if they've come in very late at night and we obviously close, then they've got a holding facility where they put it. So on the boats, the fish is actually packed on ice. Mm-hmm. But then they've got a holding facility where they keep it cold. So the cold chain isn't broken at all, and then brought through to us in the morning.
Fantastic. So you get a source of the freshest possible fish that you know has literally been swimming in the sea just hours before. You sound
it's incredible.
You're getting access to a much wider variety. Are you finding that they're catching species that you previously wouldn't have considered for your menu?
Yes, and they're also catching species which we used to know about and haven't heard for the last 5-10 years of fish because... And that they're bringing back in, which is also lovely because there just wasn't a demand, so the guys weren't catching it, but they're plentiful in the ocean, like the Cape Bream or the Silvers, the Carpenter which is lovely, and it's so nice to be able to use these fish because they're beautiful fish, and they're plentiful in the ocean, and they also, they're constantly, it's a constant learning curve for us and them with what fish they bring in. Mm-hmm. Like the other day we got squid in, which we get calamari plentiful in the restaurants all around Cape Town, but all our calamari is imported. When South Africa produces some of the best calamari in the world, it's right, just yeah. all exported. Mm-hmm. So, we've had to learn to work with it because the squid is different to the imported stuff. You know, the imported stuff is very, very soft, almost mushy, but very little flavor. And everybody thinks that that's what the texture of calamari should be. But when you get the fresh stuff that's just been caught, the flavor is incredible, but its texture is quite different. So, you've got to educate our customers on that this texture is correct. It's not tough. It's just a firmer texture.
Yeah.
It's more meaty. I mean, the only thing I could really compare it to is it's like eating a steak. It is definitely a lot more meaty, but it's still very tender.
Are your diners...
We have to become clever with how we do it and how we market it. So, instead of doing the standard grilled calamari, we've done a pickled squid salad.
Yum.
And it already changes the mindset of somebody eating it.
Kerry, in terms of the mindset of your diners, are you finding that they're receptive to the concept? Because it's not only about being creative with new kinds of seafood and offering them that variety. It's also about saying to them, this is pretty special. You can find out where this fish was caught and by whom by using the app yourself. Are your diners embracing that concept?
Oh, it's incredible. They are embracing it like you cannot believe. I mean, the amount of fish that we are selling has probably trebled.
Really?
People are just loving it, and they are so welcoming the new, like trying a species that they've never tried before, and they love the story. I think, the fact that they can know where their fish has come from and that it really is as fresh as we say it is, because they've got the proof when they scan their barcode and that.
Yeah.
It's been incredible, the feedback we've got from our guests.
One final question, Kerry, is the impact financially for your restaurant. So if sales of seafood are tripling, that's great. But are you paying more for the seafood, sourcing it in this way?
We're paying probably about the same, but there's no middleman taking the cut. Mm. So the fishers are getting what they deserve for their catch. And I think that's what's so important for us as well. So, these guys are... They're the ones out at sea. They're putting all their hard work into it, and they are getting 100% of what we're paying for that fish, which is what's so amazing.
Yeah.
We had one of the fishers contact me at the beginning of the year saying, just thank you so much. The first time I've been able to buy my kids' new school uniforms.
Wow.
And for me, that was really it was such a moving thing. And, it was, we're doing the right thing.
Kerry, in closing, would you encourage other restaurants to consider partnering with Abalobi as you've done?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, because the quality is just so incredible. And, I don't want to knock the suppliers. We've got great suppliers, but you just don't have the same quality because this is literally coming from the ocean to the restaurant and onto the guest table. And with the big suppliers, there's always... middle suppliers in between. So, it goes from the fisherman to a supplier to another one before it comes to us. And in that time, there's time frame, So it's not all in a couple of hours. This is happening over 2 or 3 days where, when we get from Abalobi, it's on the day or at the most the next day.
That was Chef Kerry Kilpin of Bistro 1682, which is on the Sternberg Estate. And great to get an email from Vic, who ate there on Tuesday and said he had the silvers and the dish was very good indeed. Vic, thanks for that instant feedback. I mean, Serge, Kerry touched on so many important issues there, but the one thing she touched on was just the personal impact on the fisherman. That comment about someone being able to buy school uniform for his child for the first time. You must hear a lot of those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we measure quite a lot of this impact as well. The idea and sort of our mission statement statement is to upgrade these fishers socioeconomically, these fishers, the fisher families, the fishing communities, upgrade them socioeconomically so they can move away from taking loans from other marketers, or they can potentially fish even less, or at least we can get to work with these fishers and be in a headspace, that we can get them in a headspace where we can have a conversation about conservation. So socioeconomically and sort of building that, that socioeconomic upliftment is absolutely key. But there's more to this. I think what I've realized with Abalobi, it's not just about that. It's not that they get a better price on the market. It's about their visibility. It's about their price, about showing their profession, their artisanal fishers and showcasing to society as a whole that these guys are out there, these fishers are out there providing a livelihood for their families, but also potentially connecting us to a whole different food systems.
Mm. I mean, Jackie voicing concern on the WhatsApp saying, I haven't heard anyone recently say that there is anything plentiful in the ocean except for plastic. Yeah. She worries about control over what is being taken out. Again, these guys are using very sustainable methods of fishing.
I would argue they are using responsible methods mm-hmm. of fishing. They are using low impact methods of fishing. Remember that fishers are collecting a lot of data. They're collecting data through their logbooks, and the idea is to work step by step with partners like SASSI, with the Fisheries Authority, on making sense of what that data is telling us, making sense of how we complement that with other data that the Fisheries Authority, for example, may have, and then jointly figure out what we need to do for particular species. How do we need to rebuild certain stocks? How do we maintain current pressure on particular other stocks? And then, of course, most importantly, how do we look at distributional justice? How do we look at quotas? How do we look at the distribution of quota to the industrial sector, to the small-scale sector?
Serge, someone asking me on the SMS line what the name Abalobi means.
No, that's a good question. Abalobi means fisher. It's easy osa, and it means fisher, fisherman, fisherwoman. And some of our fishers started calling it like that, and it stuck. I used to call it the IMS, the Information Management System, but
Abalobi's got a much better ring to it. Yeah. Okay. And the final question is: there are, you said, 20 restaurants participating. So besides Bistro 1682, where do we find the information on who else is a partner?
Yeah, so we're around 20 and growing, and I think the easiest is go on our social media: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is a good one to follow, and that where we post on a weekly basis which restaurants are currently serving. One last point, though, is that we are promoting this restaurant-supported fishery now to build the product, to build the brand, to build the program. But we're very keen on developing what we call a community-supported fishery that would allow you and me on a Friday to order a fish on the platform, and it's delivered fantastic, in a box with a QR code ready for our weekend, for our fish braai or whatever.
Would be fantastic if that could become a reality. You've been listening to Dr. Serge Raymakers, who's the co-founder and project director of Abalobi. It's spelled A-B-A-L-O-B-I. And Serge, please keep in touch with us. It would be lovely to be able to share the news when you do reach that point of moving on to the community app platform.
Thank you very much.